Yo, 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 pop a 40 and check your rollies. It's vibe time.
You're listening to the Dental Student Vibes Podcast, where it's all about good vibes. Today, episode number 5, and we're going to be discussing essential study habits of how to ace any test, any exam. So be sure to hit us up on Dental Student Vibes on Instagram, also on Twitter at DSV Podcast, and then of course on Facebook at Dental Student Vibes. And hit that subscribe button and do me a favor, share this with one other person a day. So guys, how do we get straight A's? How do we get A's on every exam?
I think it all starts from just your approach in the classroom.
Right.
That's where you're learning a lot of the information. The professor's teaching you, so the more you pay attention, I think the better off you will be in the end. And I think it's just kind of like staying focused and just being on top of the things that you have to do in order to learn the information in time for the exam.
Right. So let's dive way deeper than that. Everybody's read everything about, oh yeah, stay focused in class, like, you know, take good notes and everything. Exactly what you're saying. So how can we take this to the next level? What are some specific actionable things we can do to get better grades? Let's start out with what you're saying. Let's start out in the classroom. Mm-hmm. So what are some things that you do to take notes, how you take notes, and let's do between a lot of professors like to use PowerPoints, also with what they say. What are some methods you can use to take better notes and things like that?
Well, there's a lot of apps out there like OneNote and stuff like that, and just basically any Microsoft tool that you can access on your computer. But I think it all comes down to just listening to the words that the professor's saying, you know, trying to put your phone away for 2 minutes and just focusing on what the professor is talking about, because that's the stuff that's going to be most relevant. They're usually getting it from the textbook and trying to give you the most condensed version of it. So I think focusing on what they're saying, taking notes on what they're saying, and trying to just make it correlate to the PowerPoint and the slides, I think that's a very important way to start building good habits for getting good grades on exams.
Right. So you mentioned OneNote. So with OneNote, we can download the PowerPoint, upload it directly to OneNote as a PDF. That's how you do it. And then I like to do that on my iPad. And then I use my Apple Pencil to take notes right on the PowerPoint. So you can draw on the PowerPoint, or if you got one of those USB keyboards that attaches to the iPad, you can type right on the PowerPoint and you can just move the text around with whatever slide you want to use. On the other hand, if you don't have an iPad, you can still download OneNote and then type right on the PowerPoint, and it'll save all of your PowerPoints. You know, you can section it by class, you can do it by day, time, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, and I think something that really helps me in terms of retaining knowledge is putting it into my own words to understand it. Because I think reading a PowerPoint over and over, you're not necessarily understanding the information. It's more so that you're trying to just memorize in bulk. But I think if you put things into your own words and you apply it to like a concept or like a clinical scenario or something, then it makes it a bit easier to understand.
I completely agree with Kasim. I think it's also similarly related to how, like, people say write down your notes, because when you're writing down notes, you're putting it in your own terms, and when you're putting it in your own terms, whether it be, you know, layman and concise or more in-depth depending on the topic, it's just you putting patterns together and you remembering certain phrases, which I think helps you remember more things in the long run.
Right. Yeah, and that hits on what you said as well, Seth. I think I understand an iPad's a big investment. A lot of other people use the Microsoft Pro Surface tablet, I believe it's called. But it really is very helpful, especially in dental school specifically. It's been really, really helpful just because you're able to draw things out and visualize things in a different way, because as dentists, you know, we really do have to kind of interpret things in like a 3D way. Mm-hmm. And I think it helps you to draw it yourself, and to understand things, sometimes it's easier when you just lay it all out. And that's some of the things that we do, especially when we're doing more complicated courses like neuroanatomy. I think just drawing things out, pathways and tracks and things like that, it really helps.
Right, so you've got everything in one place. And then the other thing that I like is sometimes, you know, if we have a PowerPoint that's anatomy and it's all pictures, right? And you can't really like say this here is this, you know, this is this nerve coming out of this foramen. You can, you know, use your Apple Pencil to circle that in like, you know, red, it'll show up like as a red line and then draw off to the side and then just say, oh, this is, you know, Foramen of Magendie or something like that.
It's a very more interactive and modern way of learning. It keeps you kind of more interested in the topic. And that's not to say that the old ways don't work, but I just think with everyone being more modern nowadays and more technological, I think it really helps you with learning these more in-depth topics like neuroanatomy.
Right. Yeah. Another good technique I saw that they use in our class is a bunch of people have a Google Doc up, right? So it's live, so you can see other people typing on it. And then when the professor is speaking and taking note, and everybody's taking notes, you can make separate columns in one document, and everybody types their notes in their own column, and you can look at what other people are typing and see, oh, did I miss anything, or did I mishear something, or something like that, right? And I think that's very useful. And that would be in Google Docs, right? So that's another program to use in class when taking notes, right? And then I think Microsoft OneNote, you can also record.
Yeah, you can record the lectures as well.
Record audio.
And then the other nice thing about it is if you are taking notes on your iPad, it does sync up to your laptop as well. So if you have a, if you have like a Microsoft account or a Microsoft Office account, whatever I'm writing down on my iPad will sync up to my notebook on my laptop as well, or desktop, whichever one you're using, which I think is really convenient because for me, after every lecture, I'll go and outline and actually write on my iPad my notes, and then it'll sync up to my laptop. So if I don't want to use my iPad when I'm reviewing my notes, at least I have it on my laptop, it's synced up and ready to go already.
Right, and I think another reason why this is a useful tool is because during my master's, I printed out every single lecture. So I would put like 4 slides per page just because I didn't want to use a million sheets of paper. And with the amount of PowerPoints that we have now, that's not possible, you know? And plus, half the time they got to be in color because, you know, dental school, a lot of it's visual, right? So using OneNote really takes care of this whole process.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's taking notes and organizing all your information when you're in class, right? So let's move on throughout the day. After you get all your notes, let's go to the next step. So after class, you leave. Now you head to the library. So what are we doing? How are we going to organize our notes? What are our study habits with exactly how do we get this information to stick in our brain?
Mm-hmm. I think repetition is probably the most, it's probably the best way to get things to stick in your head, especially quicker. The more you go over something, the more you're going to memorize it. So I think when you go to the library and you go over your notes for that day or earlier that day, you kind of just look at them and you focus on the topics that you don't necessarily understand as well. And you try to get those down packed before you leave that library. And then you just keep going over it until it's like, you know, second nature to you.
Yeah. And something us guys do is, we actually make a bunch of practice questions relating to the lecture for the day, just because it kind of gives you something to apply it to versus just brute memorization. And as I mentioned before, understanding the information and really like soaking it in is a lot more beneficial, and you're going to retain it in the long term as well. So all of us will pick like 3 questions to write, and then we'll just compile it on a Google Doc together. And then, you know, before you know it, you have 15, 20 questions per lecture. And for us, that helped a lot, especially when we did perio last semester. It helped when we had those sample practice questions, you know, so to speak.
And you'll actually be really surprised too with making your own practice questions. A lot of times, if you actually understand the material, you could really touch on a lot of the topics that are going to be in the exam or relatively close to exam type questions. So that's what we did. And a lot of times we do hit on a lot of questions that either relate to what we're talking about or questions we've made or things that even include some of the answer choices we had. So it all depends on how you understand the material as well. If you get it well and you can teach it to somebody else, typically you'll be okay for the exam.
So it's about framing the material. How do you look at it? And that's what they say in this book right here, How to Become a Straight A Student by Cal Newport. Everybody knows Cal Newport, right?
Yeah, big Cal.
The unconventional strategies real college students use to score high while studying less. But yeah, so he says in this book, the main way to do well on your exams is to start thinking of the material. How could this be asked? So number one, when you're taking notes, when you're redoing your notes later after the lecture, you write questions and you frame everything in a question answer format. So, and now you're starting to predict, okay, how can this be asked? Because sometimes we're studying stuff and it's just, it's not even important. And we realize that when, how do we put this in a question? Well, maybe this isn't that important, right? So we can start predicting. I feel like that's what makes, that's the most helpful for me, is being able to predict the questions that are going to be on the exam, right?
Mm-hmm. Totally. And I've learned that a lot since coming to dental school. Especially like, you know, studying with you guys try to focus on like high yield question answer stuff. And I really think that's helped me kind of get my head out of, learning every single detail, which is, I still do, but I kind of now have just like changed my focus a little bit to more important things, which I think has resulted in better grades and just, you know, less stress and stuff like that.
And that's the money term right there. High yield. Mm-hmm. That's what life's all about, is just being high yield, you know? Finding the high yield stuff. So one of the other good tools that we use for that is, like you said, repetition. So we can use flashcards or we can use Quizlet, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody knows Quizlet, Quizlet.com. They got the Quizlet app. We spoke about this in one of our previous podcasts. And one of the things, it might seem like a little bit extra work, but when you write the flashcards, instead of putting like, I don't know, give me an example, like vertical bone loss or something like that, right? On one side and then explaining it on the other side, maybe just put what is vertical bone loss or something. So you really start framing it in your mind of what the question will look like on the test. Just a little thing like that, but it'll make a difference.
And I think in a way that forces you to study and understand the information, because I think just seeing a word in front of you and then just flipping it over and seeing information on the back, for me personally, I'm not going to retain that information as well. Like I said, I have to apply it to a scenario and in a question style format. Mm-hmm. That's the best way to really know that you're understanding the material, because I think at the end of the day, you become an expert in your field. And, you know, we will be presented with so many different scenarios over the course of our careers where people are going to rely on us to know the information, know the right factual information. So as Seth was mentioning, high yield information is the biggest key. And another thing that will help you with that is doing practice style board questions. So I know we'll be taking our first part of the boards at the end of second year, so we still have a little bit of ways to go, but there's a couple different options out there, like BRS is a big one.
BRS.
A lot of us use that for physio.
Mm-hmm. That's the definition of high yield, right?
Yeah, 100%, because you really want to take a look at that stuff. It'll condense the chapter down for you, really focus and hit on those key bullet points. And then on top of that, you have like 40 questions that you want to go to. Sometimes you might feel bad after it, but you know,
some of those questions are,
it's grilling you. That'll force you to think.
It's so efficient that a lot of people don't even read the physiology textbook. They just read the BRS because it's just so meaty and condensed, where you read that and you get every single important factual information that like you need just to be successful on your exams.
Right. So we've covered how to write our notes, right? Mm-hmm. Frame it in question format. Another good thing, this is just a given, is write down pictures, write diagrams. And then we also covered using flashcards for repetition, use Quizlet. And like we said in the previous podcast, you can put it on audio, you can listen to it, you can play all those games. I got like Meteor or whatever. I don't even know what it is anymore.
I used to hate flashcards growing up. I never used them. I was never a fan of them. I thought they were a waste of my time. I started doing Quizlet in dental school, whether it was me making some or like other people make great Quizlet, especially in our class. So shout out to those people that always help out. But like, I found that like I can do Quizlet whenever. Like, I love to do it when I'm at the gym and after a workout, I'll just go sit on the treadmill for 20 minutes and just walk at a nice little pace and just read Quizlet before an exam. And it's just like, I'm able to not feel like I'm studying and I'm sitting in a room just all locked in. Like, I'm outside with other people, like doing other things, but I'm also learning. And I think it's just that convenience factor of it really helps make a difference with your grades.
I kind of want to make, I guess it's not really a 180, but one thing that I liked about what you just said, doing on the treadmill, I think when you study certain things in a certain environment, it also helps with retention as well.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I remember doing that when I was on the treadmill.
You can remember,
I remember
where you were.
Doing that in the library.
Yeah.
I remember when Seth said that to me. I remember when George said that to me. All of those things, doing in like a group discussion and just, you know, like we're doing right now, just having a discussion. I think all of those things really help you soak in the information, because not only hearing it from your own words, but also from other people's words, and the way they understood the information really just like reinforces everything that you've learned.
Right. So that brings us to our next point. Once we've reviewed our notes, right, we've kind of organized everything, we know it a little bit. Now it's time for, group study, right? So obviously one of the most important things to do when you're getting close to your exam, start reviewing it with your colleagues, right? And I mean, we like to do that. We write on dry erase boards. We draw out charts, share notes. You know, if we make like a drug chart of all the drugs, mechanism of action, all that sort of stuff, just share it between everybody. Hey, I noticed this on your chart. I don't know if that's correct. You might want to take another look at it. Oh, thanks. You know, stuff like that, just to kind of compare everything. The other thing that really helps me is, you know, you start talking about all the information with your colleagues and they're like, oh yeah, this, I remember when the professor said this, this is definitely gonna be on the test. Boom. You know, there's another question you might have missed. You might not have been paying attention.
I think that kind of ties into repetition too. Like, I like always seeing things from other people and from other sources, whether, you know, it's like different textbooks or just, you know, whatever. And I think people pick up certain things that other people might miss. And I think they interpret it and write it different ways. And I think that the more variety or diversity you get in like terms of learning a topic, I think the better you're going to have an overall understanding of it.
Right. And then, of course, like for anatomy, you know, going to want to draw all that stuff out. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, one of your classmates can draw something better than you can. You can do the drug chart on the board. Remember, we want to make this like a real successful group setting. So everybody kind of takes their own place when they're drawing out, you know, writing stuff on the board. Everybody, you know, has to contribute some way. So
identify your weaknesses and then let other people's strengths help you build on that. I personally can't draw for anything. So Seth over here could actually draw pretty well. So when we study together, I'll make like a table, he'll draw the diagram or whatever, and we just kind of link up and then we go through it. And the nice thing too is like what Anthony was talking about was when you think you know something, when you think something's important, there's always going to be somebody else's opinion that's going to like put you in check. Because if I think something's important and Seth is like, you know what, let's focus on this too, and I didn't even think it was important, that could very well be a couple test questions. So somebody else's, you know, ideas can help you in the long run. And it's always good to acknowledge them because they will help. I mean, that's happened to us multiple times.
Right. And, you know, when we're getting everything up on the board, it's good to see everything spread out. Mm-hmm. And then you can kind of take like a mental image of where things are like on the board. One of the things that usually happens when I'm really trying to think back on a question and I'm like, I know about this, but I'm not entirely sure. We can kind of see it visually. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was in the top corner of that slide it was written in red on the whiteboard or something like that. And that usually helps. So if you think of, you know, location based, and that brings us to one of the other study techniques. This is purely like for memorization, right? Like rote memorization. So the classes that are going to use that is going to be some sort of pharmacology or microbiology, learning bugs and drugs, right? Mm-hmm. That's always rote memorization. So I can't remember what the name of this technique is, but
buzzwords.
Not buzzwords, but the mind mapping. So you picture in your head, you picture yourself walking into a house and every room has a different like assignment. So when you're thinking about, I don't know, Staphylococcus, you walk into the first room on the right and, oh, I see like, I don't know, a wizard staff sitting, you know, against something. And then you see like, I can't even think, like a fishbowl on the table with a big plus on it, right? And you're like, oh, well that, and it's a purple, or no, how about a vase? It's a purple vase with a plus on it. And you're like, oh, that's gram positive. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of remember. But then, okay, so I remember that in that room. Now I have to walk out of that room. I'll go to the next one. And, you know, and you kind of chunk things together, remember things, and it helps just, I don't know, that's just how the human brain works, right? Just location and kind of memorization along those lines.
The other thing that helps me a lot is mnemonics as well. Right. I know totally. you had so many funny mnemonics last semester. I don't remember them now. I really wish I did. But when we were taking anatomy last semester, you had some really good ones. The reason I bring that up is because we were in like a group discussion earlier today, and we had a really funny way to memorize, you know, the layers of the adrenal cortex.
Oh, we were talking about that.
I'm too. I like dirty mnemonics. That's the best way for me to remember work. Them. The dirty mnemonics are the best ones. And so George likes them a lot.
That could be either like acronyms with everything according to, so you can like remember a sentence and it will be like the order of something according to, you know, the how the first letter of each word is. So one of the ways you can even do it, if you just can't think of something to make a mnemonic, is you can just go on mnemonic generator, just type that into Google, and it'll just give you a bunch of random words, and you can just kind of play with it and just make it into something that you'll remember, right? So let's see, you were talking about the adrenal gland.
Yeah, yeah, the cortex layers. Right. So it was GFR.
GFR, and because I studied too much, I just remember that as glomerular filtration rate. But it's,
that's how I remember it too.
Right?
Yeah, that's exactly the same way.
Yeah, so,
but other people had different ways.
Right, yeah, yeah. There's dirty ways how to do it. Of course, the most classic is the cranial nerves, right? Mm-hmm. I remember all the cranial nerves. Ooh, 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 to touch and feel, however the rest of it goes. But...
yeah, those are the best ones.
You can find those online in like so many different places. All you have to do is like just type in cranial nerves mnemonic, mm-hmm. right? And then you just kind of make a chart and have everything kind of sorted out and just chunk together. And like I couldn't tell you all the cranial nerves just like that, but actually we probably can do it now.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, you just have to say that mnemonic in your head and or write it down on your scratch paper during the test and you're good to go.
Totally. I think the amount of resources that are online that so many people don't realize too. Yeah. Like, I didn't know about the mnemonic generator thing.
To be yeah,
honest.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I always used to come up with my own.
Exactly.
And sit there sometimes for like 5 minutes, like, what do I put for this?
But yeah.
Yeah, there's unlimited resources online. People do want to help and people think of things differently. Like I said, you know, the more you learn something like different ways, the more you're going to retain it.
Right. So... we're thinking, okay, so now we've done our group study, we've done our review. At this point, we've spoken among our colleagues and we're like, okay, this stuff is very important. This is definitely high yield. This is definitely going to be on the test. So what I personally like to do is I get out a blank sheet of paper, just white computer paper, and I just write on the top, high yield, right? Yeah. Or just, and you could do it by lecture too, high yield lecture one, right? Mm-hmm. And then you can start just putting down every single thing. The way that I learned how to do it from the master's degree that we had like somebody come in and teach us, if you can get all the high yield information onto one sheet of paper so you can see the whole, not front and back, just try and get it all onto just one piece of paper. That's mm-hmm. the key. And you might have to write like microscopic, but you know, that's okay.
That, you can even type it up if you want to as well.
You can type it up, but like...
Or is I not allowed to? Are you not allowed to do it that way?
I think it works better if you handwrite it because then you can write in different colors yeah. and then you can fit, you can like also draw like different, like if you got to put a table in there, you got to mm-hmm. draw like arrows, whatever. But if you can see the whole thing at once, you can capture it in your mind's eye. And then, so that's, you know, make your final high yield study list. And what that is usually going to consist of is all the memorization stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you know, the thing is, if you're reading a chapter, the way I always approach it, so I skim a chapter first and then I try and really pinpoint how to pick out like the high yield stuff. And you'll see, you know, even on like broad headlines in a chapter, right? You'll be able to see, okay, this has a big block of text. Usually it's pretty important. Like that section is usually pretty high yield. But if it's like a really detailed and like tedious chapter where there's like certain things, you just have to be able to kind of figure out what they're like zoning in on, because there are different... You'll notice a pattern. I think everything is like noticing the pattern of it, mm-hmm. because you'll start to see that in a different way, and it will change the way you study. So by the time you're done with a chapter, it doesn't necessarily matter how long it is, but like Seth was saying, your outline should be very minimal, because it's fine that you have a 30 page chapter to read, but your notes should not be 25 pages.
Right.
You know, like right. you really need to figure out a way to condense it down. And I know that's easier said than done, but it's just a pattern where you start to realize, okay, they really emphasize on this. And then your professor will also emphasize on those certain targets, you know, that right. you need to make sure that you know pretty well.
Totally.
And let's say if you don't have the PowerPoints, right? Usually pretty much everything in the PowerPoint is going to be high yield because the professor made it. I mean, you know, there's some stuff, but if you're, let's say you're doing textbooks now, right? You have to, the way that you have to do it is you're assigned chapters for mm-hmm. reading, right? So I think the most important thing, you have like, I don't know, 20, 30, like 50 page chapters to read. The way I like to do it is I like to make an outline of it, but the first thing I start out with in the outline is I look at the summaries, like if there's a summary or if there's like bold stuff, and I'll just go through that stuff.
Yeah.
Because they're not gonna pick questions out of just, I mean, they might, you know, mm-hmm. but.
I like to make outlines of chapters too, because it's kind of like the same thing with doing PowerPoints. Like, I don't like to read a PowerPoint 6 different times. I think it gets, you know, very repetitive in a bad way, in the sense of like it gets boring. It doesn't keep me fresh. Whereas like when I read my own outline, I feel like I'm more prone to do that than read, you know, a textbook 4 times. Yeah. And I also like doing things like online videos. I started doing that recently, you know, like YouTube videos of people like doing videos on anything. Like Ninja Nerd was a lot of help recently for Neuro. Yeah, mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's a bunch of, like, dental apps, too. Like, we talked about before, like, I think it was BoneBox.
BoneBox for dental anatomy.
And, like, the board's question, they have apps for that. Yeah, so, even if you're doing the textbook, you know, there's so many other resources out there just so you're not reading, you know, a textbook over and over again.
Right. So if we get to a certain point where we don't understand something, hit up YouTube, just start typing it in.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everything we've gone over, I mean, maybe not... Most of the
high yield
general sciences and all that sort of stuff, physiology, mm-hmm. Neuro, all that sort of stuff, that's all going to be covered in sites like Osmosis,
mm-hmm.
Channel Osmosis on YouTube. The other guy's name is Armando Hasadungan. Is that how you say it? Yeah, they've got really good explanations. Some of them are really long. I like mm-hmm. Osmosis because it's short and you can change the speed. So you put it on double speed.
That's what I do. I usually go like 1.5, 1.75.
Right. Yeah. And you just, they talk in high voices, but that's okay. You can still understand them.
The other one that was good was, have you used Sketchy? Have either of you guys used Sketchy?
I haven't used Sketchy.
I thought that was similar to what you said when you enter the house. But with Sketchy, you have someone dubbed over, like on like a bacteria or something. Say like, what, staph, right?
Right.
Or strep, whatever. And they'll just have a picture. And it will have like a ton of different kind of like keys. It's like a gorilla in a zoo or something. And then there's like different animals doing certain actions. And that's how you relate it back to like the characteristics of the bacteria.
And you see in your mind's eye, you see the picture.
Yeah.
And you see the different characters doing something instead of seeing in your mind's eye just a bunch of text on a page. And so that's why that could be a helpful
resource. That's very helpful if you're more of a visual learner.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I learned both ways, I would say. Uh-huh. So I could read things and pick up, but then I could reinforce it with the visual stuff. And Armando's videos really help with that sort of thing because he draws very well. So all his pictures are done very, accurately, and he's very diligent and he cares about how he draws things. And then he has a nice explanation right next to the picture describing what's going on. So you get the best of both worlds if that's how you learn.
Right. So we've hit all of these different methods on how to get this information to stick in our head.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now it's time to take the exam.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about some other things. You know, we're a little bit past studying now. Like, it's a little too late. It's the day before, the night before the exam.
Mm-hmm.
What are some key things we're gonna focus on?
I'm glad you brought this up because I actually was gonna want to transition to this. Like, I feel like when I do other things, it gives my mind like a break, and I feel like it rewards me and makes me want to go back and study even harder next time, as opposed to where I'm locking myself in a room for 12 straight hours every day. So like I like to do things, especially coming up to the test. Other people might not feel this way, but I like to change my study setting every couple hours if I can. Go to a different room, go to a different Starbucks, go wherever. I like to do things like exercising and just trying to get blood flow going and stretching and, you know, doing yoga or just going out to eat and eating something nice because, oh, I've been studying really hard. Let me reward myself with this like nice steak or whatever, you know, like just things like that right before the test that people might not think as productive. I think they can be because it gives your body that like recharge almost, you know?
Right. And then, I mean, I'm almost positive there's like I read a study, it was like a 2017 study where people did 30 minutes of cardio
mm-hmm.
before they took their exam, like the, you know, 6 a.m., whatever, the exam's at 8 a.m., and they like scored higher on it, just who knows why. You know, of course, more blood flow to the brain, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it won't hurt. It won't hurt to do that.
I feel like when I do my Quizlets on the treadmill or on the bike, because it gets me to do cardio. Because normally I'll just weightlift, but it gets me to do cardio. I feel like I retain things better that way. Because whether it's just more oxygen to the brain, or maybe just a different setting, it doesn't feel like I'm studying. Whatever it is, like I totally would believe that study.
What do you guys think about reviewing or trying to cram before an exam? Does everyone do it over here, or how do you guys do it?
I mean, at some point early, you probably will have to. If you get a whole bunch of exams in like 1 week, and you're taking 3 exams. Sometimes you have to put one on the back burner. It's just how things go. Mm-hmm. We've had to do that for classes that are, the material would be relatively easy compared to another topic. So what we would do is we would have to cram a little, but you try to prepare accordingly so you don't have to put yourself in that position. But if you don't have to be in that position, don't do it, because you're just going to end up memory dumping it. You're going to try to know as much as possible, and then you're going to forget it within a few days after the exam, and it's not going to do anything for you.
Right. Also, we're studying for the boards at the same time. So if you cram the night before, chances are afterwards you're not going to remember anything. You're only going to remember it for the day after. It's all about repetition, doing things over and over again.
For a long period of time. And okay, so also day before the exam, I like to drink a lot of water. We're just getting back to basics, baby.
Yeah.
Right? So drink a lot of water. First thing I do when I wake up, drink a full glass of water. You know, get that brain full of water.
How big is
full
the water glass, again?
Oh, we're talking
like 25 ounces.
We're talking gallon
64
jug.
64 ounces.
Gallon jug.
Milk bottle, right?
Yeah. Where is it? Do you have it around here? He's got somewhere. His gallon somewhere.
A gallon jug.
Yeah.
Do that. One of the other things, I like to do a lot of carb cycling.
There we go.
Here we go. I like to manipulate my macronutrients,
meal
right?
Prep.
Meal prepping. Here we go, baby. One of the things I think works for me is carb load the day before.
Yeah.
I mean, this is... We're getting real, you know, deep into it here. But
these are the tips and tricks.
Yeah, tips and tricks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when I took the DAT, I ate 2 pounds of pasta, and that ended up being like, I don't know, like 200 grams of carbs, 300, 400, I don't remember.
Yeah.
But I think that was very helpful. You know, I wasn't hungry before the exam, and, you know, you want to have that normal, you don't want to be hypoglycemic when you're taking the exam. So at least eat well, have good nutrition the day before, have good nutrition the day of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to take an exam on an empty stomach. I feel like we've been hearing that since we were in like second grade.
You want to keep the wheels churning, you know, you want to be able to focus and have good energy. That's such an important point. So many people, when I study, I feel like I starve myself like unconsciously. Like I just won't eat sometimes.
Really?
Yeah. So like closer to the exam, like I'm like, yo, I have to like,
yeah,
I have to start eating.
It does, because I get headaches really quick if I'm not eating properly. To all our listeners out here, don't worry, I'm writing everything down that Seth says. One thing that he did forget was his IV of coffee. IV of coffee.
Yes.
We cannot forget that.
So wake up, you know, exam at 8 a.m., wake up like 5, start the coffee pot.
Pre-workout.
Maybe a little pre-workout in there.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe about 200, 300 push-ups. Nah. But yeah, I mean, caffeine helps. Everybody knows that.
Yeah,
just don't overdo it.
Don't try to get too dependent on it. Try to, you know, if you're relatively young, like we're all in our 20s right now, we try to just let our bodies have natural energy, run off of that. If you need a boost, take some pre, take some coffee. But, you know, we're young. You try to be spry, use your own energy first before you rely on
something. And most important, people don't talk about this, people don't do it. Get some sleep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Get sleep. That's the best 100%. Way to have energy. That's the best way to be cognitive. That's the best way to do well in your exam.
Right. If you don't pull an all-nighter. Like
no,
I feel like we've all kind of been past that. We all did that in college.
That's a college thing,
right?
To cram, you know, I'm sure we've all been there on that. You can't do that.
That does not work.
No.
Not at all.
The other thing is, speaking of sleep, I think everyone has like a happy medium. Like we have our sweet spot. Me, I'm like 7 hours and 15 minutes to 7 hours and 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So try and find your sweet spot, because if I'm at like 7:45, I'll feel it. I'll be drowsy the next day because I'm in that, what's that deepest sleep cycle called again?
The REM cycle.
REM
I can sleep 11 hours and be fine.
Yeah, no shot I can do that.
And make sure you eat well. You don't have to eat 2 pounds of pasta, you know, but you can eat like eggs, cereal, something.
Eat some protein in the morning.
There
and don't eat friggin' Pop-Tarts.
No, not Pop-Tarts. But like a nice... You have some sort of like Raisin Bran type cereal.
Yeah.
Don't go have like Lucky Charms. Nothing against Lucky Charms, they're good. But you don't want those like simple sugars. You're just going to crash after having that. You want something of sustenance, you know? Have some eggs, oatmeal, something that'll stay in your stomach that you're going to take a while to break down. You'll use that energy during the exam. It'll help.
Mm-hmm.
I feel you on that one. All right, guys. Well, I think we hit pretty much from right when you're delivered the information in the lecture to study habits, to reviewing with your colleagues, to the day of the exam and the night before.
And one more thing before we just end this and wrap this all up. During the exam, do not be nervous. If you do all these things and if you're well prepared and you have good nutrition and you slept and you know the material really well, don't be nervous, because the last thing you want to do is have test anxiety, because it basically takes everything that you worked for the past few weeks and just throws it out the window when you're in that exam room. So just Be confident, believe in yourself.
I have one last take-home message. This is kind of like my encouragement to everyone out there who's listening. It took me a couple of years to get into dental school. And I remember before I got in, all those years that I was waiting, you kind of get discouraged with yourself. And I was thinking to myself, do I have what it takes to be in dental school? Am I going to be able to handle like the workload? How difficult the material is? But that being said, for me, I finally figured out what works for me. Preparation is so key, Anthony. Mm-hmm. You're so right on that. I'm always confident going into an exam. If I prepared the right way, I know any question I get, I'm pretty confident that I can get it right because I've done the work I've needed to do for it.
You need that.
Everything's
mindset.
Down to that. You might have to work a little bit harder than other people sometimes. Might take you a bit longer to get into school, or it might take you a little longer to like grasp the information, but you cannot get discouraged. Like, trust me when I say that because I went through a lot of it.
Absolutely. That's some good stuff. All right, guys. Well, we appreciate you listening. Until next time, please share our podcast. Hit us up Instagram at Dental Student Vibes, also on Twitter and on Facebook. And we really, you know, we want to hear from you guys. Ask us questions, leave reviews, leave some stars for us. We would really appreciate it because this is really, we're trying to help everyone out here. Whether you're a pre-dental student, dental student, or you're a dentist, let's bring up everybody who's in the dental field. So appreciate it, guys. Until next time.
Bye, Bone.